This is WMUK's Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence with more music of the moment in West Michigan. The horn. It's a sophisticated brass instrument based on the hunting horn, which itself was based on the horns of animals, such as a ram's horn used to make a shofar. The instrument can evoke sounds thousands of years old and also sound eerily futuristic. This hour on WMUK, four advanced horn students at Western Michigan University will show you the full spectrum of this special instrument. There are many unplanned, serendipitous moments in the hour ahead. Stay tuned. Well, this is a long time in coming. I'm really, really pleased to have the horn studio at Western Michigan University here at WMUK, finally. Lynn Folk, I have been an admirer of yours for quite a long time.
Thank you so much.
I remember that first convocation on which you played and sort of opened everyone's eyes to what a fantastic performer you are. And you've built a studio over the years that increasingly challenges its students to try new things. And that's what we're here in the studio to do today. So thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Lynn, if I could start with you, talk about your horn studio and your goals for them.
Sure. Well, I've been at Western since 2003. And in the horn studio, we have undergraduate students all the way through graduate students who major in a variety of majors. They're all music majors, but music performance, music education, music therapy. We have some composition majors in the horn studio. And so it's a diverse group of students who have different kinds of career paths. But what my focus is getting them to be the best horn player that they can be while they're here at Western Michigan University. And so we have lots of different ways that we do that. We have horn choir. They perform in large ensembles, and I'm sure your listeners have heard the wonderful students in the Western Michigan University Symphonic Band and Symphony Orchestra, and as well as chamber ensembles. And so there are a lot of experiences that and opportunities that the students have to become the best players that they can be. So that's my main mission. I just want them to be good horn players, and I want them to find a connection and really enjoy playing this instrument. They come to the school because they already love to play horn, and so I try to nurture that in the variety of projects that we do.
So you're not really one of those professors who wants to create a same little person out of every student like a cookie cutter and send them off into the world?
Absolutely not. I meet the student where they are, because there are a lot of different directions. And in order to, most of the students, they want to create a career in music. And there are a lot of different ways to do that. And so I start with where the student is, what their talents and abilities are, and help them build on that so that they can find their own path.
That is something you do for yourself as well.
Sure.
Not too long ago, you took a sabbatical to study classical improvisation.
That's right. In 2013-14, so just last year, I took myself out of the regular teaching and performing schedule that I have held for the last 10, 11 years. And wanted to explore this new subject, and that is using classical music tools, using my training, what I know how to do as a horn player, to create music in the moment. And I had seen some performers do this for various reasons. One, lack of courage. Two, I didn't really have time to sort of practice improvisation. And, for some other reasons, it was hard for me to incorporate that into my playing without a leaf. And so I literally tried to do not anything else. I changed my warm-up for a year. I tried to completely clear the slate just to see what this could be, what the possibilities are for creating music in the moment using classical tools and classical music. Because I love jazz, I love listening to jazz, but it's a highly specialized language, and improvising within jazz is a completely different beast. And I hope eventually I'll have the courage to explore that too. But right now I am a classical musician, and I have lots of training, and so do my students have lots of experiences in classical music. And I have discovered there are ways that we can come together together and just use those tools and create pieces together. I found the kind of music that we create in the moment is so different from playing composed music. So yeah, that's sort of a snapshot.
I think what you're going to demonstrate is shared improvisation among all four horn students playing here today.
Absolutely. Chamber music improvisation. Yeah, using improvisation in a chamber ensemble is where I just, you know, I didn't know it when I started my sabbatical project. I thought, well, maybe I do want to explore more sophisticated cadenza writing or whatever. I wasn't sure. But I have found that this is so exciting to create chamber music, to create pieces in a chamber context. In the moment, it's so fun. The kinds of music that you can create is very different from the kinds of music that I play composed. And I love it all. I love playing composed music too. But this has been a very new avenue for me and a very fresh kind of music making.
Well, how do you four horn players avoid a giant traffic mashup?
Exactly. Well, we have, the students and I, we have played together about five or six times. We get together, we call it Friday fun. And at the end of all of our studies and serious music that we've been playing all week, we end the week by, the only assignment was that we each brought an idea to the session. And so there are a couple of books on improvising for classical musicians. There are ideas out there, swimming out there. So that was a place where they could start, or they could make something up. You know, once you get started, you think, oh, this would be a good idea. And so there were games and prompts that we made up on the spot too. But that was our only structure, is that everyone came to the rehearsal with an idea and we all played that idea. And
so there probably were some traffic collisions.
And there is. And I would like to say that I think that through the doing, doing this, yes, not everything that we play is something you would put on a recording and sell. But the act of doing it is so valuable and so important that it's still worthwhile to do. And you come up with some music that you couldn't have gotten there, you know, had it been composed. And of course, you could always improvise a piece and then go back and write it down and transcribe it. But there's something about the act of making the music in the moment that is so satisfying and so so liberating for classical musicians.
Well, this is extremely exciting to think that here in the studio, in the moment here at WMUK, you were going to create a piece for us that has not been prepared, that listeners are just going to hear at the same time you're all hearing.
That's right.
So let me get to know the horn players that you brought to the studio here today. So Nicole, I'm going to start with you. Would you tell me your full name and your year here at Western and where you came from?
Well, my name's Nicole Vandenbosch. I'm in my fourth year at Western. I study instrumental music education and horn performance. I'm from Jenison, Michigan. I went to Unity Christian High School.
Is that near Grand Rapids?
Yeah, it's about like 20 minutes away from Grand Rapids.
Okay. How long have you played the horn? When did you pick it up?
I picked it up in the middle of sixth grade. I switched from the flute when I asked my director, I'd like to start playing the horn. And my director was like, well, I don't really have time to teach you horn. So he gave me a horn and I took it home and I taught myself how to play. So that's how I got started.
You must have really hated the flute.
I was really bad at the flute. Every time I hear like really pretty flute lines or they're just like have all these notes, I turn to everybody else in the ensemble. I'm like, yeah, I'm really glad I don't do that anymore. I'll just play loud, long notes.
So next we have Jen. Would you tell me your full name again?
Yes, my name is Jennifer Kemp, and I'm from Champaign, Illinois. So I did my undergraduate in music education at the University of Illinois. And now I'm here at Western getting my master's degree in horn performance.
Horn performance. So you decided you were really going to focus on the horn.
Yes.
When did you pick up the horn?
I picked it up in fifth grade. I was actually really wanting to be a trombone player, but my fifth grade teacher my band director was a horn player, and she steered me away from it and told me to play the horn.
It is one of those wonderful brass instruments that fits in with a lot more than other brass instruments can.
Yeah.
You can go from really small, intimate ensembles to big ones. Mm-hmm. So Did you ever think you'd be improvising using classical style and technique?
Well, maybe. Actually, I met Jeff Agrell, who's a really big big into classical improvisation. He's a horn professor at the University of Iowa. When I was in high school, and I went to the Horn Symposium in Macomb, Illinois for the first time, and he was doing a sound painting class, and it's all about classical improvisation techniques. So I kind of had like a little bit of it while I was in high school, but yeah.
And on your left, we have
Kirsty Heal.
Where are you from?
I was born in Philadelphia, and I was raised in the Poconos, Pennsylvania. And then I went to my undergrad near Pittsburgh, so Pennsylvania.
When did you start playing?
I was a percussionist in fourth grade. And in eighth grade, I had gone through four method books, and my band director was tired of me showing up at my lessons completely unchallenged and having not practiced. So she
naturally
gave me, yeah, she went into the instrument closet and came out with a single F horn and said, learn this over the weekend, and gave me a scale sheet. And she said, learn this over the weekend or you're out of band. So now I'm here. I did a pretty good job over that weekend.
So I get the sense that you have to keep your mind busy, keep your energy focused on something in order to just be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the horn keeps me very happy. Music keeps me very happy. Music people, especially, I think, is what drives me to do this. I just love being around music people.
Mm-hmm. Great. And finally, on your left, we have
Jeremy Larson. I'm from Washington State. I did my undergrad at Eastern Washington University, and now I'm here doing my second year of graduate studies.
You must miss the West Coast.
I do quite a lot.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place, and the whole sort of pace of life seems different over there.
It is quite different from Michigan, especially weather. I'm just going to put that out there. It's quite cold.
Were you drawn to Western Michigan University because you could study with Dr. Folk?
Yes. One of the ladies in the Spokane Symphony, where I'm from, she knew her and kind of recommended me in that direction.
So what do you think of the whole concept of classical improvisation?
Well, it's a very interesting process. It's not something I'd ever really experienced before. But I think it's incredibly valuable because it really puts you out into a really uncomfortable position at times, especially if you're new to it. And that, in a way, builds a lot of character in a variety of different ways. Even if, say, you have stage anxiety and you're just having troubles getting on stage and performing, these lessons of improv where you're just out there and just doing whatever it is, no matter what it sounds like, it really prepares you for real life situations where you have to put yourself out there.
I hadn't thought about that. Do you find that people's personality, as you know them day to day, can be heard in their improvisations?
I think most definitely. Without a doubt.
Well, as you all get your horns ready to present an improvisation, I'm going to ask Lynn to introduce the concept behind this particular improvisation, which I think you call mutating groove.
Sure. And if I may take just a minute to talk about when we first started improvising together, I set a couple of ground rules. And so I think this might be helpful for you and your listeners to know. The first rule of four is there are no wrong notes. So just as Jeremy was saying, you know, it helps you develop the courage. Just go for it. Just play, because it's so easy to be inhibited. And that's the biggest reason why many of us don't improvise. And so that's the first thing. Just go with the idea that you can't mess up. Just if you play something wrong, just use it creatively and find your way out of it. The other is play what feels good and sounds good to you in the moment. So it's creating music in the moment that is a personal expression. You know, we get the opportunity to express as we're playing music composed by other people, but it's a very unique kind of expression to create music in the moment that represents how you're feeling in the moment. So that's the other bullet point. The third is For this moment, when we practice improvisation, let go of the four C's, and I call it comparison, criticism, competition, or being clever. So when we're improvising, we are letting go of those four C's, which are so important to playing our classical music, but get in the way of us in the creative process of creating music together. So that was the last point. And then the final point is, you know, we have spent so much time, we've come together at this moment. Even these students have a lot of musical experiences. So in this moment, the piece that you're going to hear uses all the techniques and the musical skills that the students have right now. Our music development is always looking in the future and how am I going to be a better player, and how am I going to get in the practice room and really make this piece a better piece. For this kind of musical situation, what if you already have all the skills that you need? Let's just create a piece together using the tools and the skills you already have. So I think that helps sort of give a background of what we're doing with this and what we're thinking about when we create music.
You're listening to WMUK. Here are Nicole Vandenbosch, Jen Kemp, Jeremy Larson, and Kirsty Keel.
Here in the Takeda studio at WMUK, we have four advanced horn students of Dr. Lynn Folk demonstrating for us music made
in the moment, improvised music with a theme they call mutating groove. Nicole, you started it off and the reactions came from everyone else. Is that a common way for you to get an improvisation going?
It's one of the ways we get it going. Sometimes one of us will be inspired with a particular idea, so we just kind of run with it. And sometimes it's like, well, I really don't know what to do right now. So I take a minute and listen to what's happening before I input, much like a conversation. It is more of a musical conversation. But this particular improvisation, I'm actually a big fan of the low notes, the very low register of the horn. So I wanted to establish a groove where I got to play in the very low register of the instrument, which was a lot of fun.
You got some assistance rhythmically, I think, right in the beginning there. And then it came time for someone to do long tones. You all seem to find your space in the piece. And I guess that's all about using your ears.
I was the one who came in with a couple long tones, the stop notes.
Kirsty.
Yeah, that's me, Kirsty. Hi. But it's one of the things Dr. Folk talks about when you're improvising is to play 25% of the time and then let the other people play, give them space. Because music isn't all about in your face, here's some sound. Music is also about silence. So I think that long tones and just having the space to let everyone, because they, Jeremy and Nicole set up a really nice groove. And so I sort of just wanted to get out of the way and let them fit in and just react to what Nicole was doing a little bit and be low.
Yeah. And a big thing is just, I mean, listening to what everybody's doing around you and even reacting, like Nicole was saying, having a musical conversation and not just playing random things because you're improvising, but actually working with each other to make something musical happen.
Are you ever surprised with what happens?
Yeah, pretty much every time.
Yes.
Some of the chords that you built were absolutely gorgeous. Are you just lucking out? Yes. Trying a...
I think Dr. Folk kind of talked about this a little bit. It's not really about like sounding bad or sounding good, but taking the things that sound good and kind of expanding on them. So there is a lot of searching around at first, most definitely. But then when that's why it's called the mutating groove, because we kind of find a groove that fits with it, and then it'll eventually mutate from there and just keep expanding.
Sometimes if somebody takes the lead and you really like what they're doing, you might harmonize with them and make the lead and do a duet for like a duo. Or you might let them finish and then bring back the theme later. Like, hey, I really like there's another silent part. Well, I really liked what they did earlier, so I'm going to imitate it. And sometimes when we don't like this particular piece, we set G minor. So it's fairly easy to figure out which notes they were playing. But sometimes if we're just like, all right, let's just play something, you don't get the right notes that they were playing before. So what we do is just, there's just a slight imitation. It might not be the exact thing that they played, but it's enough of an imitation where hopefully a listener might be able to be like, oh yeah, I heard that earlier. Just like a composed piece would
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. It's one of the key techniques used in classical music. You see imitation everywhere. Mm-hmm. So you really are taking techniques you're trained in and applying them to a very open and improvised place. I would like to hear another improvisation if you feel up to it, and maybe something in a major key would be nice since we just came from G minor. What do you have that might be something a little all contrasting here?
Well, maybe we could do something in Dorian, like Knights of the Realm, like horses and spears and shiny giant armor. Chunks of meat that you just eat with your face, like things like that.
Damsel, maiden in
Damsels,
distress.
Dragons, wow. Castles.
I can't wait to hear this. My guests are Kirsty Keel, Nicole Vandenbosch, Jeremy Larson, and Jen Kemp in the studio at WMUK. Thank you. We just heard Kirsty Keel, Nicole Vandenbosch, Jeremy Larson, and Jen Kemp, four horn students of Dr. Lynn Folk at Western Michigan University, practicing improvisation for us. Based on the theme there of nights, you know, you can't get away from it. You horn players have hunting calls and pageantry in your genetics.
That's right.
In your DNA. It was nice to hear the horn used in that way, in a very free-form way. Very fun. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Folk, you are taking this group of students, these four players, to the International Horn Symposium later this year in August. And what will they be doing there?
That's right. We received an invitation. We submitted a proposal and it was accepted, and each of these students was invited to co-present with me at the conference. And this is very unique. It's very unusual for students to get the opportunity to present at the International Horn Symposium. So I'm really proud of these students, and this will be a great opportunity. And we will do the kind of music that you just heard. We're going to lead improvisation sessions for the musicians who participate in that session, primarily horn players. And we'll do group kinds of things, but we'll also break depending on the number of participants, into small groups. And we have about an hour to introduce that audience to improvisation. And so I'll do a little presenting, but the students will also get the opportunity to present and lead improvisation pieces.
You've also asked them to prepare a work by Anthony Plough.
Yep.
I would like you to introduce this composer and the piece that you assigned.
Well, Tony Plough has been on campus here many times in the last 5 years or so. Wonderful, well-known composer to brass players in particular. He is a trumpet performer, well-known trumpet performer and teacher. He no longer plays and teaches, primarily composes these days. And the Western Brass Quintet actually was just involved in a co-commission. In the past 2 years, we played a piece for brass quintet and band called Concerto 2010, because it was composed in 2010. And then during my sabbatical leave, they did a collaboration with the Gaudete Brass Quintet out of Chicago on a new piece by Tony Plough for double brass quintet. This horn quartet was a co-commission of several horn players, all chipped in to help support the composition of his first horn quartet. This is the only horn quartet he has composed. And it's typical to his writing, a lot of chromaticism, half-step kind of movement, chromatic lines that pass around the ensemble that you hear. But also the harmony is very chromatic. You'll hear a lot of half-steps being played at the same time. It's atonal, but there's definitely a tonal center to each of the movements. So although he is stretching tonality, he typically ends on a major chord, for instance. So it's as if the piece was exploring harmony during the entire movement, and then it's always finalized with a major chord. That's a compositional technique he uses.
We'll hear this piece, the first two movements, I think, and then give you guys a little break, and then play the second two movements. Here are four horn players from the Horn Studio at Western Michigan University to play music of Tony Plough. Thank you. Here in the Takeda studio at WMUK, we just listened to four horn players, students at Western Michigan University, Jen Kemp, Jeremy Larson, Nicole Vandenbosch, and Kirsty Keel, all performing music of Tony Plogue. This is music written very recently by one of the top composers of brass music in the world today. I thought that was a truly effective piece. The layered dissonances in the opening paid off at the very end with that such a surprising sort of tonal chord.
Exactly.
And then it moved on to motives bouncing around everywhere. Every player taking over melodies that completely unexpected moments, yeah. and yet they all had to continue together. It sounded really hard to do, like four horns, one mind.
Yeah.
So when we're moving on with this piece, I did hear you warming up on it, and the next movement gives us something a little more lonely. It's like there are four apartments and you can see people living. You're outside the apartment complex and watching people living their separate lives. Everyone takes their own line here, and it's more like four horns, separate lives.
That's a beautiful way to describe it, too. I don't think we've thought of it that way. So, yeah, thank you for that image, too. Yeah, I think that describes the movement beautifully.
And if I remember, you do move straight into the fourth movement.
Right, right.
Okay, once again, here are Jen Kemp, Jeremy Larson, Nicole Vandenbosch, and Kirsty Keel performing music of Anthony Ploeg from his one and only horn quartet.
Thank you.
We hear the final two movements from the Horn Quartet by Anthony Ploeg, one of the great writers of contemporary wind music right now, and such a challenging piece. I really have to applaud each of the horn players here at WMUK, Kirsty Keel, Nicole Vandenbosch, Jeremy Larson, and Jen Kemp. Thank you for putting such an incredible piece together for us today.
Thank you for having us.
So you have a chance to play this more than once, I hope, or have you already performed this piece?
Yeah, we've performed it three times.
We performed it at Jeremy's master's recital. We performed it in the brass area, which is like a small recital by brass players in the music school for brass players in the music school. And then we were nominated to play in the music convocation class, which is select students from each area play for the entire school of music. And then last week we played for the National Poetry Month in the library. We played that
in Sangren's
library. We played that, and now we played it here, and we'll be, like Dr. Folk said, we're going to Los Angeles and we're taking that as well.
This is not a piece you can put together in 1 week. It's going to demand it demands a lot of you, and it's almost one of those secret teaching techniques where by the time you get on the other end of this piece, where you've played it in performance, you are a changed player. So this piece will probably be significant to you for some time to come. Any other thoughts on the work, Jen?
We've been working on this piece pretty much since the beginning of the semester. We had a couple of other smaller pieces that we put together, but this has been our main focus for the spring semester this year.
It really paid off. Well, we're near the end of our time together here on WMUK, and I'm hoping to maybe inspire you to give us one more improvisation. What would you think about the concept of radio waves traveling from Earth out into space? They can just go forever and ever. My husband has actually talked to me about this. He said, the interview you did today will continue to be heard for thousands and millions of years off into space. So knowing it will never go away sometimes makes me cringe, but other times makes me very happy knowing I will be dead and my voice will still be on the air. So I would love to hear what you guys come up with. Is that something you're willing to try?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. Sure.
We heard a spontaneous improvisation on the image of radio waves heading out into space from four Western Michigan University horn players, Kirsty Keel, Nicole Vandenbosch, Jen Kemp, and Jeremy Larson. They performed live in the studio at WMUK. All are students of Dr. Lynn Folk, professor of horn at Western Michigan University. I'm Kara Lawrence. Our audio engineer was Martin Clem. Thanks for tuning in to WMUK's Let's Hear It, truly music of the moment in West Michigan.